We've been talking about the power of the blood. Is that right? So we've talked about the different aspects of the blood. This morning, I want to talk to you about the sanctifying power of the blood of Jesus. The power that is in the blood, the sanctifying power, sanctification. And to do that, we just need to get some definitions around first. But the message is rather simple. The definition of to sanctify, let's look at the definition first, all right? The definition is this, and if you get the definition, you get the message, really, all right? It says this, it is where God sets apart something or someone for himself from all evil use to be wholly used for himself and for his service. And I want you to pick up these two words here, from and for. Everybody say with me, from and for. So we are separated, we are set apart. So to sanctify means to set apart, to separate from evil, and to be wholly used for God and for his service. And you will see in the Bible, the whole idea of service, to serve God, What does that point to? Does anyone know? Like who was the one in the scriptures that was to serve God? Oftentimes, what was that pictured in, given to us? In the Levites, or you could say the priesthood, couldn't you? The priests were committed, they were consecrated, they were sanctified, they were separated for God, to be used for God. Now, to sanctify, as we say, we've looked at the definition. It means to be set apart and to be brought to God, for God. And it's really what it is. It's the Hebrew word is the same for holy. So when you look at the Hebrew root word for holy is actually sanctify. How many of you remember the song that we sing? Holy, holy, holy. And if you know the song, you'd also know the Hebrew version, which is what? Kadosh, right? Okay. What I'm trying to say is that the root word there is kadash. It is where you get the word kadosh for holy, and kodesh, which is also holy. As you say, the Holy Spirit, this Ruach HaKodesh is the Holy Spirit. But the thing that I want to show you is the root word. The root word are the same. So really, to sanctify, we could also say, is to make holy. So when we define, what does it mean? What does holiness mean? Holiness means separation from, and we're separated for something. Okay, so from and for. So sanctification and holiness go hand in hand. Say that with me. Sanctification and holiness go hand in hand. So to say to be sanctified, it means to be made holy. All right, now that we got that aside. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 says this, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. The Bible also tells us in the Beatitude that blessed are those, the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So to be pure, to be separated, to be holy. Now, the Bible tells us God is holy. Now, let's look at, I'm going to put a picture, there's a few pictures here on the screen, and that's just to name a few, which is most of it, but I'm not going to go through the details of every single one of them, but if you can work out what each of these represents, you will see that each of these different pictures on the screen, these were sanctified, okay? The first example that I'll give, which I do have the scripture, is Genesis chapter 2, verse 3. It says, then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work, which God had created and made. What is that saying? Is that out of all the 7 days, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, God sanctified the seventh day, the Sabbath, which is what we call the Sabbath. It was to be different from the other days, because the other days you were to work, but on the seventh day you were to rest. And on the Sabbath, The people were what? To set time aside to seek the face of God. It was a day set aside for God to rest and to seek God in the temple or to seek God in His Word. Can you say amen? So the Sabbath was sanctified. It is a holy day. Everybody say with me, holy day. Not holiday, a holy day. All right? So it kind of tells us that our holy days should really be holy days. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? All right, amen. Okay, and here, just I don't have the scripture for the rest of them, for most of the rest, but here the tabernacles, the furnitures of the tabernacle, they were sanctified. Why? Because they were separated from all the other furnitures, but they were going to be used for God. They were specifically made for God. Okay, very good. What about the priest? The priests were not to be like everyone else. They were set aside for God. Okay, you got to keep your... I hope you're getting this. I'm expecting you to say the same thing every single time. They're separated from everyone else, right? Because they've been set aside for the priesthood for and to serve God in the temple. That's what their function was. But they were sanctified. They were separated. The Bible also tells us that the firstborn of Israel were sanctified. The firstborn. Okay? Here I've got a verse here of the people. In Exodus chapter 19, verse 5, it says this, which tells us that the people were sanctified. What does it say in verse 5? It says, "Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people." In other words, you're not going to be like everyone else. You're going to be a special people for me. "For all the earth is mine." In verse 6, it says, "And you shall be to me." Everybody say, "to me." Not to me, but to God, right? Not here. I'm talking about God, right? God is saying, "to me, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. Then the verse 10 now, we'll skip to verse 10. It says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them." What does that word consecrate is? It's the word sanctify, which means to make holy, to set aside, to set apart, to separate. "Separate them, sanctify them, consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes." So in our last message, we talked about the cleansing power of the blood. And what you will see is cleansing power and sanctification do overlap, okay? So they work together as well. We see that overlap today as we talk about being sanctified, okay? All right, so the people of God were sanctified. The last example that I want to show you today is Jesus himself sanctified himself. It says in John 17, verse 19, it says, and this is what Jesus was saying, Jesus says, "For their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be," so that we may be sanctified by the truth. Jesus, what did he do? He separated himself. He came on this earth for the purpose of God. He is the Messiah. He's not just anyone else. He's not just any human. He's not just any man, right? He is the Messiah. He was set apart for God. In fact, the Bible says, in Hebrews, quoting the Old Testament, saying, "A body you have prepared for me to do your will, O God." A body was prepared for Jesus for the will of God. A body was set aside for the will, the Word of God made flesh. Amen? Amen. So just to give us some examples, what does it mean to be sanctified? And how are we sanctified in and through the blood? We're going to look at that. And what lies in the sanctifying power of the blood is what we're going to be looking at. So I really have 2 points and a conclusion. So in the first one, so as we talk about the sanctification, the first thing that we've already looked at as we've read the definition is, number one, we are separated from and separated unto. And I've got two sub-points in that, really. Okay? We're separated from and we're separated unto something. Okay? We're not just separated and that's it. We're separated from, separated unto. Say it with me. Separated from and separated unto. Titus chapter 2, verse 13 to 14 says this. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us. Now we remember we looked at the word redeem. He purchased us. We belong to him. He bought us at a price. He might redeem us from every lawless deed. Can you see that? From every lawless deed. And purify, to cleanse us, the cleansing power, for himself, his own special people, zealous for good works. So can you see here, we're separated from lawless deeds, purified for God to be his people for good works, for a service, for something for us to serve. We're to serve him. So from and unto. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse, I think that's what I have next. Is that right? Yeah. In verse 9 to 10, it says this, but you are a chosen generation. Say, we are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. His own special people. Or his own possession, okay? And that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you, say with me, out of darkness into his marvelous light. Who were once not a people, but now are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but have now obtained mercy. So out of darkness into light, separated from darkness for light. Amen. So what does that mean? Okay. To be separated from, as we've looked at the definition, is to be set apart, is to be separated. In other words, to be different. Say, we are to be different. We're different. We're called to be different. And this is what God says. And you see this throughout the Old Testament where God pleads with his people, don't be like the other nations. Don't go and worship their gods and don't follow what they do. In Leviticus chapter 18, verse 24, it says this, do not defile yourselves with any of these things. For by all these, the nations are defiled, which I'm casting out before you. See, God is telling them, don't defile yourself as what the other nations are doing. You are not called to be the same as what everyone else is doing. We're not called to do what the world is doing. You are different. Say, I'm different. We're called to be different. So to be sanctified, to be set apart, to be holy, is I'm separated from sin, lawless deed. I'm called to be different. In 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 19 to 22, it says this, nevertheless, now what happened in this story is that the people are asking Samuel, Samuel is a prophet, and they're asking Samuel, Samuel, we want someone to judge over us. We want a king. We want a king like other nations. And so Samuel brought it to God and being disappointed. All right, and so we read it from here, okay? So in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 19, it says this, as they requested, obviously, to have a king. This is what they say. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. Why? Because Samuel was saying, you don't need a king like this. Don't need to be like other nations. And they said, no, but we will have a king over us, that we may be like all the nations, that our king may judge us and go before us and fight our battles. So, What are they saying? We want to be like everyone else. We want to be like other nations. We want to do what they do. We want to do the cool things. We want to look like them. We want to talk like them. We want to dress like them. We want to act like them. Okay? But we are called to be different. Say with me, we're different. Then in verse 21, it says, and Samuel heard all the words of the people, and repeated them in the hearing of the Lord. And what does God say? The Lord in verse 22 says, "So the Lord said to Samuel, heed their voice and make them a king." And you find a frightening thing in the Bible is that sometimes, even though that's not God's will for us, but when we want something, God's just going to say, "You have it." Doesn't mean God's blessing. Doesn't mean that God wants it. Does not mean it's His will for us. But sometimes, when, even in Ezekiel, it says, when people, when you ask something in idolatry, God will give us over to that idol. Very scary verse. But look at what verse 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 7 says. "And the Lord said to Samuel," this is a little bit earlier, but it's in context of them asking for a king because they want to be like everyone else. And this is what God says to Samuel. And He says, "The Lord said to Samuel, heed the voice of the people. Let them have what they're asking. They're asking for a king. Give them a king. Heed the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them." So by doing all of that, they weren't even rejecting Samuel, the prophet, who was really standing for God, who really had the sense of what God really wanted for the people. But He says, they've rejected me. So say with me, I'm different. We're called to be different. Amen? We're not called to be the same. All right? Our lives is to be different. I'm not saying that, I'm not saying we have to look weird and do weird stuff, right? But what I'm saying is God has set us apart. God has marked us unto Himself. Amen? We are separated for Him. Daniel understood this. So though he was in Babylon, but he knew he was separated. He was different. So when he came the time to take of the king's delicacies and to drink wine and to do all these things, what did he say? "I will not defile myself. I determine within my heart not to defile myself from all these things because I am not like Babylon. They may give me names. They may change my name. They may put this on me. They may call me all of that. But I am not one of them." Okay? His name is Daniel. They may call him Belteshazzar, but he knows his name is Daniel. So I want to ask each one of us this morning, do we know who we are? Do we know our name? God calls us by name. We're different. We're not the same. We're set apart. Number two, we're not only separated from, but we're separated unto. Unto God. We're separated for Himself. We're not separated for ourselves. We're separated for God. And when we're separated for something, what does that give, what does that tell us? It tells us we have purpose. I'm separated. Now I have a purpose. I have a real purpose in life, a purpose that I've lost when I'm dead in sin. But God has now separated me by the power of His blood to be different, to be taken out of darkness and of sin, but to be separated for Him for purpose. Say, I'm different and I have a purpose. Galatians chapter 1, verse 15 to 16. This is what Paul speaks of himself. He says, "When it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the Gentiles." He was separated from his mother's womb, but he was doing it for something, for a purpose. What was that purpose? To reveal Christ. The purpose is to reveal Christ. We're separated unto God, for God, to serve God. Amen? Acts chapter 13, verse 2 to 3. It says this, "As the church were praying, and here the Holy Spirit began to move." And look what happened. Look at what the Holy Spirit said. "And they ministered," speaking of the elders of the church and the people, it says, "they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Spirit said," read it with me, "now, separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So I hope that you see the pattern so far, separated for something. Set apart Separate unto me Paul and Barnabas, Saul and Barnabas, for the work, for the service that I have called. Not my calling that I put upon my own life. Whose calling is it? Whose calling is it? God's calling, right? I have called them is, it is God's calling, all right? The Holy Spirit was the one that was moving. So you can see clearly here, Saul and Barnabas didn't call themselves for ministry. The Holy Spirit, through the elders, began to move and call them and separate unto me. So the Spirit of God was moving through the elders. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, it says this. I'm talking about purpose, right? We're separated from, separated unto, we have a purpose. It says that God chose us in Christ, in Him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, or we should be sanctified, we should be set apart, that we should be different, not the same, without blame before Him in love. Verse 5, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself. So He chose us, He set us apart, and He predestined us to Himself as sons. In what way? According to the good pleasure of His will. Verse 9, it tells us more about this will. Having made known to us this, the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself. Okay? So, here, this is not on the screen, but listen to this point here. We are separated from, we are different, we're separated unto God, that's unto Him, that's His person, all right? And because I am separated for Him, I have a purpose. So I'm separated unto the person of Christ for a purpose, for His good pleasure, okay? I'm not separated unto myself for my purpose, for my good pleasure, but unto Christ, His person, for His purpose, and for His good pleasure. Can you say amen? Amen. So that's sanctification. God, by the power of His blood, separates us out from sin and brings us to Himself. Say with me one more time, I'm different. I have a purpose. We want to leave the purpose that God has given us. We're not called to just live life just casually like everyone else. We have a purpose. Do you have a sense that God has called us for a purpose? God gives us His purpose. So the next point that I want to move on to here is, now that we understand that sanctification, this is what happens. What is the means by which, now we're going to talk about the means of sanctification. I'm going to sort of, whatever I say here can be seen in two, can be seen twofold. I'll mention it at the end. But the means of sanctification, how are we sanctified? And the thing is, what we're talking about, the title of the message says the power of the blood, sanctification, the power, the sanctifying power. And really, I'm going to say it this way. It is faith in three things. Say with me, blood, word, and the Spirit. And what you find is that sanctification doesn't happen because of my initiative. Not my initiative. Now, I'm going to be careful how I say this. Not my initiative, but everything that God has made available for me through the blood, the word, and the Holy Spirit. That's the first side to it. And the second side is, we are also called to sanctify ourselves from evil. The same as what we talked about, we are to cleanse ourselves from sin as we live in this present age, which still has sin. So I'm going to look at these three different aspects here. The Bible tells us that three things sanctifies us. Three things, if you want, this is like a recipe, if you like, okay? Three things that sanctifies us. In Hebrews, and we're going to talk about the blood first. It says in Hebrews 13, 12. So in other words, three means the blood, the word, and the Spirit These are the means by which I am sanctified, by which I'm set apart, by which I'm made holy, by which I'm consecrated for God. The first thing is the blood. Hebrews 13, 12, it says, therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people, how? With his own blood, suffered outside the gate. And in our next message, we will actually look at that verse in a deeper sense. But here, I would just want you to pick up the fact that we are sanctified by the blood. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And remember, we talked about the redeeming power of God, the power of God that purchased us with his blood. So here it says, you were bought at a price. Say with me, a price. What price was this? It was the price of his precious divine blood, which he shed on Calvary for us. And because of the power of that is in the blood, because in his blood is the power to atone for soul, his holy life, his entire being, the power of his blood has power to purchase me now. He can, by the power of his blood, he separates us. We belong to him. We are sanctified. We are set apart. We are separated from sin, from darkness, from Satan, from the system of this world. Now I am separated unto him by the power of his blood. His blood has power to make me righteous. The blood has power to forgive my sin. The blood has power to cleanse me from sin. And the blood has power to sanctify me, to make me holy, to bring me unto him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Revelation 1 verse 5 to 6 says, to him, to Jesus, who loved us and washed us from our sins in what? In his own blood. So you see this aspect of cleansing. Who made us, and everybody say with me, kings and priests. To who? To his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We are saved, we're washed, we're loose, we're forgiven. All of that through his blood. But for a purpose. What's the purpose? To be made kings and priests. Kings were anointed. They were also anointed for a job, for the kingship. The priests were consecrated, separated for his purpose. Now you and I are called to be kings and priests. Do we mean wear a robe to be a priest and bound yourself with a cross around your neck? Is that what we mean by when we say, he's called us to be a priest? What about when he calls us to be kings? Are you looking for a crown to put your head and a nice robe? Is that what we're talking about? You want to be the king of, I don't know, what nation? You want to be, well, they have queen in England, but you want to be the king there or something? Or I don't know, wherever. Is that what God is trying to communicate to us? So hopefully we'll get a chance to look at that in the future. But here we find that the power of the blood that sanctifies us for his purpose. Can you say amen? The second aspect that has the power to sanctify us, and really what I'm saying here is it's the ingredient. As we talk about the power, the sanctifying power, what I'm trying to say this morning is we don't just look at the blood itself. What gives power to the blood is also found in the Word and in the Holy Spirit. Let's look at the second aspect of what sanctifies us, the means of our sanctification. And the second means of our sanctification in the Scriptures is the Word of God, often represented in the Old Testament through the washing of water. But it says here in John 17, verse 14, Jesus says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from evil use, from the evil one, sorry. Verse 16, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Is that speaking of us this morning? Amen. We are not of the world, just as Jesus is not of this world. But we live on this world. We're in it, but we're not of it. Verse 17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So what is the sanctifying power here? Is found in the truth of God's word. The power of his word has the power to separate us, to cleanse us, to separate us, to change, to transform the renewing of our minds by the power of his word, to separate ourselves from the carnal mind or the natural mind, the earthly mind, to God's mind. And the last one that I want to mention here, and then we bring this to a conclusion, is the third means of our sanctification is the Holy Spirit. Everybody say with me, Holy Spirit. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, it says this, "Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit." For what? "For obedience and of the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace be multiplied." Amen. So there's power, there's sanctifying power in the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit to set me apart for Him. One of the ways in which the priests were sanctified is they anointed them with oil. It was a separation from even the camp that they were in. Even they were set aside as a tribe for God. But now, we're not talking about tribes. We're talking about we are set aside as a people for God. So in conclusion, we talked about the sanctifying. Well, let me review from the start. We talked about how sanctified means to be, sanctification means to be separated from. I'm different. And separated unto, I have purpose. And the means of sanctification is through the blood, the word, and the Holy Spirit. So notice how I'm not just saying the blood to this morning. I'm mentioning three things here. Three ingredients. If you want ingredients for roast pork, I put three ingredients for the marination. Sugar, salt, and five spices. But this one is a different ingredient, okay? This one is water, blood, and spirit. Okay. All right. Okay. So I need to sanctify myself from food now to spiritual food. Okay. Five spices. No, it's called five spices, right? So that's one ingredient because it's already done. Yeah, one thing. Five spices is, you can buy this in a packet. Yeah. Okay. Is that right? All the cooks? Yeah. I consider this as one ingredient. I mean, okay, you can be technical. There's five spices in there. Plus two, seven. That's perfection. I like that too. That works too, right? Okay. Okay. Oh man, I don't know how that got to this, but okay. All right, let's come back here. In conclusion here, we're now talking about the power that is in the blood. The power is this, and I want to read 1 John 5:8. It says this, "And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one." And you see that? So we could just discuss about the sanctifying power of the blood, and that in itself is powerful. I'm not saying it's not powerful. But I believe that the Bible gives us this perfect ingredients, this perfect unity. Just as God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as we sang this perfect Trinity. I think one of the hymns talks, there's one of the hymns called Perfect Trinity. He's perfect unity, right? So here we have a witness, a perfect witness here on the earth. God has given us. And what are they? The Spirit, the water, and the blood. And that has the power to sanctify us. So in other words, we're talking about the means of sanctification is really faith. Faith in what? Faith in the blood, but not just the blood. Faith in the word, but not just in the word. Faith in the Spirit. And what you will also find is that they work together. They're not independent from one another. It's not like, oh, now I just need the word, or now I just need the blood, or maybe now I need the spirit. They work as one. And we're going to see that as I finish up. But let me read Hebrews 9:14. It says this: how much more shall the blood, and notice here, I put the colors here so you get the train of my thoughts here. So how much more shall the blood, okay, of Christ, Jesus, the Word that became flesh, who through the eternal Spirit, the Holy Spirit, all right, offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works and serve the living God. So you have the blood, you have the Word incarnate, Christ, and you have the Spirit of God. So when Jesus offered himself by the power, so you can see that the Spirit and the blood, to have the blood, he needed the Spirit. So the Spirit works with the blood. And I don't need to remind this, but the Spirit always works with the Word as well. So what I'm saying is that they always work together. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12 says this: the one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. We have the Word, the blood, and the Holy Spirit. So two concluding thoughts here. Number one, A. This sanctification, as I said, is not our own initiative. So where do we find it? We find it in God. The Bible says in Leviticus chapter 20, it says, I am the Lord who sanctifies you. What does that mean? I'm the Lord who makes you holy. I'm the Lord who separates you from all of that unto myself. And if you like the Hebrew name of God there, it's Yahweh, what? Mekedeshchem. All right? That's the word to sanctify. Mekedeshchem. All right. And so we're talking about point number one is faith in God's provision. How do I receive this sanctifying power? It is simply faith. Faith in what? The Word, the blood, and the Spirit. It is God who sanctifies us. So the moment that I believe and put my faith and trust wholly in Jesus, God immediately takes me out from Adam and puts me in Christ. God immediately takes me out from darkness and put me into His light. God separates me from sin and brings me into a place of His presence. God separates me unto Him. We are called saints. By the way, the word saint this morning I mentioned was one during our prayer time was Hasid, which means a devoted one, one of love, one who's that sort of kind, right? That's a saint. But there's another word in the Bible for saint in the Hebrew. I mean, in English it's saint, but in the Hebrew word, and even you can find this, you will see this in the Greek. But the word holy really means the word saint is really holy. It's literally the same word, kadosh, kadash, is holy. That's the saint. The saint is called kadosh. And here we are calling God is kadosh. And God calls us His saints, holy ones, His holy ones. We are holy, why? Because He has separated us unto Himself. And you find the exact same thought. Look it up. You can look it up. The word saint in the New Testament is, I think it's hagios. And it's literally the word holy. So we are separated. We are called His saints. We are saints of the Most High God because of what Jesus done for us. Amen? But the second aspect here. So here's what God and only God can do and nothing that I can do to provide myself this sanctification. But here, as believers walking this journey on the earth where sin has not been eradicated but defeated, B, to have faith in this, it means this: as I obey God's word through faith, the Holy Spirit continually applies the cleansing blood, the cleansing power. And what I'm saying here is really is as we continuously walk in the Holy Spirit and in His word, the blood is always ever present, working actively in me. And you say amen? I think it's in 1 John. I think we read that in the last message, but I'm just going to verbalize it. Don't have to turn there. I don't have it, but it's 1 John 1:7. It says this. It says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. And all I want you to pick up from there is this, as I walk in the light as he is in the light. Now, light is spoken of as oftentimes is the word, is his truth, is his light. It gives us light. The word is a lamp unto my feet. But light also speaks of the light of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is like light. He illuminates. He enlightens our eyes. The Holy Spirit is light. So as I walk in the Word and in the Holy Spirit, it says this, if I walk in the truth as he's in the truth, all right, it says in 7, we have fellowship with one another and the blood of Jesus cleanses us. So these three are working actively in one. So I'm not trying to separate the three. So what gives power to the blood? First, it's simply because it's the blood of the Most High God, the Son of the only begotten Son. But when you couple that with when you bring that together with the Spirit and the Word, we're to bring all three elements together. I'm just going to read a verse here in to round this up. It says in 2 Thessalonians 2:13, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. Sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the true. As I give myself to the Spirit and the Word, I'm also at the same time tapping into the power of the blood. And in that, God sets me apart. Let me conclude with this verse here. And I know if you read Romans 8, there are many things that are said in this chapter. But let me just bring that one verse here and try to see if you can see what I'm saying here. In verse 31, it says this. What is it? Why don't you read it with me? And this is our last verse here. And what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? You say it one more time with a bit more conviction. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Right? What am I saying? I'm saying this. If the blood speaks for me, if the Holy Spirit speaks to me, speaks for me, makes intercession for me. Now, if you know where I'm coming from here, I'm coming from a Romans 8 perspective. The Holy Spirit leads us as the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. As we walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So as the blood speaks for me, as the Spirit works in me, right? And as the Word of God speaks to me, as the Word of God is for me, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, if we have the witness of the blood, of the Word, and of the Holy Spirit all coming after us, and if we would just tap into this, what can separate us from these things? If God is for us, then who can be against us? Can you say amen? So, I want to say that, you know, maybe times and time again, we will go through things in life where you and I won't feel very holy at all. Okay, but in that moment, we have to encourage ourselves and to know where to tap this. Where do we run in those moments? Do we run to ourselves? No. We're called to be separated unto Him, for Him. And here, tap into the power that is in the blood and the perfect witness that speaks for us, that has the power to sanctify us, to cleanse us, to purify us, to make us one with our Heavenly Father. Can you say amen? If God is for us, then who can be against us? So my encouragement as well is that as we want to walk in the power of His blood, as we can learn the different facets of the blood, my encouragement is also, We need to know the Word of God. Get into the Word of God. We're also in need to have a constant walk with the Holy Spirit. It's not just the blood, okay? I mean, it's the blood, don't get me wrong. But what I'm saying is, if we keep these in perspective, keep these three in one, the threefold cord will not be broken, all right, if we would tap in that. So let's rise to our feet this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you that you've called us to yourself. In fact, you've called us by name. And you've redeemed us. We thank you for the power, sanctifying power found in your blood. Found in your word, found in your Holy Spirit. At this time, if I can just have... I just want to allow, just allow the Lord to just minister to our heart this morning in what we were said. We are called to be different. We're not called to be... We're not... Again, listen to this. We're not called to be common. And when you look at in the Old Testament, you know, the things that they did, they had to do it outside the camp of the Israelites. Because that's where all the unclean things are. That's where the common talk is. But they had to come outside of that gate, come outside the camp, to the place of His holiness, to the Holy of Holies. So this morning, maybe it's, what do we need to separate ourselves from? In what way does God call us to be different? Maybe in the way we talk. Maybe our disposition. Maybe our thoughts. Maybe there are things in our hearts we need to separate ourselves from. Maybe there are certain emotions we need to separate ourselves from. Maybe we need to separate ourselves from the spirit of inferiority. God says we are not common. We are His special treasure, separated unto Himself, for Himself, for a purpose, for His good pleasure. For by His will we exist and were created. And maybe you're living this morning with anyone here. There's no purpose. God has given us a purpose. And the first and greatest place to serve Him is down at His feet. Help us this morning, Holy Spirit, to experience more and more of this power to work in us.